Lorena, and today I'll be discussing with you guys about how we use UAV and satellite-based images to correlate with cotton physiological parameters and how we can use that to help improve variable rate irrigation in cotton. So the concept of variable rate irrigation is based on the delineation of irrigation management zones. Basically, every field has some sort of soil variability. So what we do is to try to identify this sub-areas that have homogeneous characteristics, and then we group them in these irrigation management zones. And as you can see on the animation, we try to apply the irrigation rate based on the needs of each zone instead of applying one rate for the whole field. So we have basically two types of management zones. The first one is static, in which we delineate the zones in the beginning of the season, and then we use them throughout the whole growing season, and they represent the spatial variability of the field. And we have the dynamic zones, in which we change the boundaries of these static zones that we first delineated, and they are going to represent the temporal variability that we see throughout the growing season because of the plant responses. So in this context, we can use remote sensing to collect large-scale data of plant reflectance with high resolution, high frequency, and we can also calculate vegetation indices, so we can try to estimate some indicators that can show us the plant water status. So in this context, remote sensing would be important because we can do frequent crop monitoring of this interaction between soil, plant, and environment. So that said, the objectives of our study were to assess this correlation between the vegetation indices and the different cotton physiological parameters. We also wanted to evaluate these two different remote sensing platforms, which is the UAV and satellite, and to evaluate the variability of the zones, the static zones that we delineated. So I just want you guys to have a quick look in the field that we worked last year. As you can see here in this animation, it's pretty obvious that this field has a lot of soil variability, and this translated to variability on the plant cover as well. This field has an area of 54 hectares, so we basically divided here the field layout. So we divided this field in four different strips. Two of them were irrigated with the variable rate system, in which the irrigation applied was based on soil moisture sensors, and two of them were conventional irrigation that was chosen by the farmer. We installed 37 soil moisture sensors overall. 31 of them were installed in the VRI strips that we divided in 25 different management zones, and six of them were installed in the conventional strips just for monitoring purposes. So the delineation of these 25 zones, they were based on different data sets. So we used electrical conductivity, elevation, soil texture, and also NDVI and yield maps from previous years. And the reason we used this data was because we wanted to identify the best we could how the soil properties affect the patterns in this field, and how these soil patterns, they are going to affect the plant reflectance and the final yield. We also collected weekly measurements from the first flower until the last day we irrigated, which was in the end of September. We collected pre-dawn leaf water potential, height measurements, node count, nodes above white flower, and we also used the gas exchanger. I performed weekly flights as well with a 3DR solo that you can see there in the bottom. It was equipped with a paired sequoia, and we also downloaded weekly images from the Planet Labs. So with the parameters we use in these flights, we got a resolution, a spatial resolution of 13 centimeters per pixel, while the planet images, they were a little bit coarser, so they were around 3 to 4 meters. So just to go into the results, I put two examples of the soil moisture sensors that we installed in the field. These two soil moisture sensors were installed in very close zones, and you can see there are three different curves, and these curves represent the three soil sensors that we have in three different depths in each one of our probes. And you can see right there that the first sensor and the second one, they are installed in two different soil types, even though they're really close together in the field. So if I overlap now the total water that this field received throughout the season, including rainfall and irrigation, we can see there on the beginning, on the first couple weeks, that for both fields, the water that the field was receiving was enough to keep the soil water tension to a desirable value, and in both fields. And if we move forward to the middle of the season, you can see that in the top graph, we still were able to keep the soil water tension down. But on the second one, the soil was drying out quickly and we were not able to bring the soil profile to field capacity. And if you go towards the end, we didn't have a lot of rain and we didn't apply the amount of water that we needed. So both areas, they were dry. So these results show us how important it is, the concept of variable rate irrigation, because then we can apply water based on the needs of each zone and not one rate in the whole field. Now I want to show you the soil water tension variability that we observe between our zones. So here on the x-axis we have all the 25 management zones we delineated, the y-axis the soil water tension, and it's pretty obvious if you just look at the box plots how variable the soil water tension was between the zones. And then if we focus on each individual zone, you're going to see that some of them, the box plots are really tall or big, and these shows us that we had a lot of temporal variability within each zone as well. So that means that the static zones that we delineated, they couldn't account for all the variability that was caused by this interaction of plant, soil, and environment throughout the season. So now I want to focus on the variables that we collected on the field. And if we see on the top graph, we have leaf water potential and soil water tension. On the left side, we have nodes above white flower, node count, and height. And on the right side, we have assimilation rates, stomata conducts, and transpiration rate. So I want to focus on two things on this slide. The first one is on this yellow line that crosses a week that is between the end of August and beginning of September. And we can see there in the soil water tension graph on the top that there was a rapid increase of soil water tension after this date, which also caused a decrease in the leaf water potential because the plants were getting stressed. And if we see the right graph there, we can see what was the effect that this sudden change in soil water tension caused on the plant physiology. So the stomata conductance after that date also decreased, which caused the transpiration rate to decrease and the assimilation rate to decrease. The second thing is on the nodes above white flower graph. You see there the red line. In this exact same date, we had almost all of our plots in the field to reach cutout. And cutout, as many of you know, is a very important stage for cotton because it represents the point in which the plant stops focusing on vegetative growth and start putting all its inputs to the reproductive growth. And as we could expect, if you see on the node count there, it's stabilized. So the plant stops putting new nodes, and also the height stabilized because the plant was not growing anymore. So what I want to conclude with this, to show with this slide, is how important it is for us to check how the soil water tension or the water availability throughout the season causes an effect on the physiological parameters of the crop. So evidencing how important it is for us to monitor frequently our crop to delineate the zones. So with our UAV and satellite data, we were able to calculate a variety of different indices. Many of them were the same for both platforms. And the red ones, they were different because of the availability of the bands we had. So the UAV didn't have the blue band, but it had the red edge, while the satellite images, they didn't have the red edge, but it had the blue. So we had a couple different indices. And what I did was to correlate these indices with all the data that we collected in the ground, the physiological data. And now I'm going to show you the most relevant results we had. So on the left side there, you can see with the UAV data, we observed that the chlorophyll index using the green band presented a strong positive correlation with plant height. So on the x-axis, you see as the values of the index increases, and the y-axis, the plant height increases as well. And on the right side, we have the satellite data, and we observed that The same strong relationship could be seen, but in this case was with the red-blue normalized index, and as the values on the x-axis increases, the plant height decreases because it was a negative relationship. So what I did was to get the equations of these two models, and I applied to the vegetation index map so I could calculate an estimated plant height map. And those are the maps you can see on the bottom. So we can see obviously the difference of spatial resolution between the two maps, but the trends in crop growth are the same. And this is important because in many cases, you're gonna have in your field a difference in plant height or plant growth because of water availability. So if you have a map like this of the whole field, we can try to see, identify the zones in which the plants are stressed and they are small, and or they are taller because they are well watered, and we can change the boundaries of our zones. Regarding the plant water stress assessment, we have also some interesting results. With the UAV, we observed that the chlorophyll index using the red edge band had a moderate relationship with transpiration rate. And on the right side, the modified simple ratio index had a moderate relationship with leaf water potential. And although these relationships are not as strong as we expected them to be, because of the high variability that this specific field presented, we still hope that if we apply these indices in other fields that show in a more homogeneous area, we could see a better performance of these indices regarding water stress assessment. So on the bottom, we have the results for the satellite. And this is a really important result for us because we saw that the green-blue normalized index had a strong relationship with leaf water potential. And what we want to do with that is the same thing we did with the plant height map. So we want to estimate leaf water potential for the fields so we can have that data available and see how the crop needs change throughout the season. And with that, we can draw some conclusions. First, that with the vegetation indices, we are able to estimate the plant height and create these plant height maps so we can start to see these patterns in the field. The multispectral images in the visible and NIR ranges, they show some potential in estimating these physiological parameters that they can indicate water stress or not. And this is the focus of our study. The satellite images, they can be an alternative method to the UAVs because they have similar results in some cases, as we saw, even better results. So if you don't have a UAV or if you're not available to go fly your UAV, you can rely on this data that is free online. And the last, the management zones that we delineated, they presented both spatial and temporal variability. So this stresses even more the need for us to monitor our crops frequently, so we can apply rates of water based on the crop needs and increase our water use efficiency and maybe stay in the same yield or even get even higher yields. So of course we are gonna, for future research, we're gonna keep exploring how these vegetation indices, they correlate with these physiological parameters to see if we can improve our variable rate irrigation. And I would like to thank BART that is funding our research, my co-authors and team members that helped me conduct this experiment, and all of you that are here today. If you have any questions, I will do my best to address them. Thank you.
Time for one or two questions for Lorena.